He did it! The greatest night in the history of Chelsea Football Club.
Dennis Bergkamp! Dennis Bergkamp!
Occasion Mourinho on the pitch, followed by Wenger. And it's not often you see this serious an outbreak of disorder in such a big game.
Hello and welcome to Red and Blue, the Cape Town-based Arsenal and Chelsea podcast. In this podcast, we'll have some general football news, the Arsenal and Chelsea updates, and some fun and games. My name is Andrew Kerr, I'm an Arsenal fan, and speaking of fun and games, in the absence of Jeremy Westwood, who is away this week, we have Spurs fan Jake Waldron with us.
Yes!
Hello, Jake. Jake, it's great to have you with us today. And you can get just a taste of what it's like to be in the Champions League.
So funny. Such great humour.
Well,
the team sucks,
yeah. The only other people I haven't introduced.
Consistent.
Are Chelsea fan Nick Key.
Hello.
And Arsenal fan Richard Bolly.
Yes.
Cool. Bolly.
Richard Bolland's Whose Voice Is That?
All right, guys, so on this week's Whose Voice Is That, we have a slightly different type of game. Each of you is going to get a voice, and then we're going to have a bonus voice at the end of that. So there are only four voices this week. Mm-hmm. Mr. Andrew Kerr, we're going to start with you because you're the youngest football fan here.
Thank you.
And I think we've got a fairly easy kind of start, but
let me be the judge of that.
Hello, my name is Oliver Kahn. It's Oliver. I don't know.
All right, so let's
could be anyone.
A for away.
Voice number one.
It's always emotional, you know, coming up against a club that I spent so many years here, still got friends, and you know, the best manager in the world is charge of this club.
I don't know.
Yeah. Nothing. No, you want to take a guess?
I know who that is. Yeah.
I mean, I can
break it down. Break it down. So he's come back and he's playing against what he considers the best manager in the world. What player may have left?
He goes on to say it's the best team in the world.
Is it Rooney?
No.
Let's narrow it down. Okay. He once played for a good team. Now he's playing for another team, and he's playing his good team that he used to play for.
I don't know.
Probably the most.
Okay, we're gonna go pass it over to Nick.
Okay, I'm gonna say it's all David Beckham.
That would be correct.
Just for the record, that was also my guess.
Yeah, whatever. Just sort of scum.
Okay, Nick, you're up.
Okay.
Voice number two.
Yeah, and obviously I was delighted to come on at half time and get the winning goal. So felt like I really played my part in the second half.
Jeez. Oh my goodness.
I have no idea.
Okay, which players have got the winning
goal?
Yeah,
what players have scored a goal? Okay, gonna have to give me a country.
Okay, I'll a country?
Well, what country they're from?
Don't you even...
I know where they're from.
Is it UK?
Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah.
British.
Yeah, I can't do anything. I'm the only one
on
here
and scored the winning goal.
Headphones on. So.
Can't do the accent.
Yeah. okay. Stevie G.
No, it's not right. Pass it on to Jake.
He's definitely someone from the Liverpool area / Everton.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Merseyside.
Yeah.
Okay. Hence my Stevie G.
Yeah. I'd probably say Michael Owen.
Incorrect.
Do I get a guess?
You get a guess. Kurt?
Okay, I'm going to say Raheem Sterling.
No, it's not. All you guys are wrong. It's actually not from Merseyside at all.
Oh, sure.
That's how close that is.
Well, you said it.
He's from Germany, and
he's actually Argentinian. He's from Manchester. Which I don't know really where is, if that's close to Merseyside or not.
Just tell us the name.
But it's the Hoyo Welbeck.
Danny Welbeck. Of course it's Welbeck. Of course we put Welbeck.
Yeah, now all of a sudden he's gotten into the good voices.
The Arsenal legend, Danny Welbeck.
Future prophecy.
Alright, Jake, you're up next.
Yes.
First scum.
Voice number three.
Yeah, we had a lot of the ball, a lot of passing, controlled the big majorities of the game, but didn't have the cutting edge, and We were vulnerable to the counter-attack, and more importantly, we gave away two dreadful goals today.
So Jake, any guesses?
Well, he's clearly Scottish. Is he Scottish?
I don't know.
Well, that sounds like it. Yeah.
Brazilian.
It's Shinji Kagawa.
Jeez. No, my mind's gone blank for all Scottish players except for Alan Hutton.
But it might not be a player. What if it's a manager?
No, he said he was playing in the thing, didn't he?
I don't know
what he said.
Did he?
I was concentrating on the accent, so, not his actions. Yeah. All the clues are in those.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to pass it on to Kerr.
Well, why are you passing it to me?
Because you're next.
Wait, can I have one more guess?
Yeah, sure.
Who's that ex-Man City defender?
Kieran Richards.
No.
That's Michael Richards. Michael Richards.
No, not Michael Richards. The guy who played alongside him. I've gone blank now.
Richard Dunn.
Yeah.
No.
No, okay. Yeah.
No idea. I have no idea.
Okay, I'm going to say it's David Moyes.
That would be correct.
Wow. Disgraced former manager.
Nailing it.
Yeah. All right, so now we have a bonus question. Whoever gets this first wins.
Correct.
Please, would you use your buzzers this time? I don't want any answers being called out.
Buzzer is the name.
Okay.
Bonus voice.
Against Swansea, so... we are very happy because to play against Swansea, first game of the league, away from home, it's tough. It's tough. You could see it at times that they have a great team, the way they play. I actually love the way they play, but it's very hard to play against at times.
Yes,
Robin van Persie.
Correct. That is Robin van Persie. We don't come here for a holiday. I come here to play football.
I'm also Russian.
Oh, that was good.
So I think that ends the score with Nick on 3.
2.
Nick on 2, Jake on 1, Kerr on resounding 0. Thanks.
Wow, Arsenal scum.
Please, Jake. This is an Arsenal game.
Jake.
Cool. So I just want to do the outro.
Richard Bollins, whose voice is that?
That's the outro.
great. I'm glad you always announced it before and after. Great.
So just want to thank you all for playing again. It's been a fantastic week. Nick, again, with the win. I think that's 2 in a row now.
It's 2-2.
So you guys need to lift up your game. Watch some
I was very happy to be the runner-up.
Yeah. Okay. Well, just watch some more post-match interviews, Andrew.
I'll do that.
Great.
So in Arsenal news this week, the transfer window loomed, and then it continued to loom all the way up past the 11 o'clock deadline in England, 12 o'clock here. Did you stay awake for it?
I didn't. I was on the Arsblog live feed, and I was convinced we weren't going to sign anyone.
Really?
Yeah.
I stayed up till about 12, and by 11 I was pretty sure we'd get Welbeck, just from the reports coming in. And then as they asked for an extension, I was like, no, stuff this, I'm going to sleep. But we have Danny Welbeck. How do you feel about that?
I'm over the moon. I think the fact that so many United players have taken to Facebook and been, I can't believe we've lost him, what a bad move. I mean, that just surely says something about his caliber and what type of footballer people think he is.
I think it says more about the state of Man United, if I'm honest.
No, don't let anyone go. Okay.
Well, the fact
they need everything.
They have Falcao. They have
Van Persie.
Rooney.
Oh, sorry, you said Falcao, not Falcao.
Sorry.
Oh, sorry. How did you get that line?
I had that locked and loaded the whole time.
Where did you get that live Falcon that we
just brought
from
into studio?
Crazy. I'm resourceful.
So they have Rooney, RVP, Falcao, Di Maria, Mata, The fact of the matter that they're clinging so deeply onto
because all the reports are reading, I don't know if it's as much about his playing skill, but that he was the last. He's since that class of 92 with Beckham and Scholes and Buck and Giggs and all those kind of guys, he's the last Mancunian or Manchester born player. I think they've always at all points since then have always had at least someone from Manchester playing for Manchester United, and now that they've sold him, there's no Manchester-born players playing for Manchester United. So I don't know if that also plays a part when they're going, oh, this sucks because losing a bit of the heritage of the club and whatnot. But I don't think he's a bad striker. I just think they've got much better strikers in.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting because pundits are saying that he'll fit really well into the Arsenal system, and he's been a bit on the sidelines of Man U for the last while. Sorry?
What?
He's not good at finishing, so he'll fit right in. Yeah.
He's got a very good shots to goal ratio, which is awesome, because he only scored like 9 goals out of 21 appearances, but I think like over 50% of those appearances were late substitutes and that type of thing. Yeah. And I think he's pretty much going to come into Arsenal all guns blazing, starting every game. I think maybe Wenger will rotate him with Sonogo for the smaller games, but he's pretty much for the next 4 months going to be our number one striker.
Absolutely.
Mm. So I'm excited to see what he's going to do. Hopefully he'll be what Sturridge was to Liverpool.
Yeah.
And
just a change of scenery, sort of spark something.
Yeah.
Mm. It could be. I really think it could be. I think Danny Welbeck, we've seen flashes of brilliance from him. It's yet to be seen whether he can consistently become like an elite striker. But I think you guys have given him, if ever there's a platform for him, he's still at a big club, and won't be sort of second choice to RVP and Rooney. He'll be, your main guy.
Yeah, it's great.
Which is big, because I mean, I don't understand how you guys left it so late to fill that gap. It's just a no-go.
And the great thing is Wenger wasn't even around. He was in Rome refereeing a match.
I mean, the managers don't do the transfer dealing themselves. I think they just give their targets. But did you see Falcao? I mean, how do you feel about this? Because I saw last night Falcao's father saying that you guys really, really wanted him, but just couldn't get the deal done.
Oh, we wanted loads of people and couldn't get the deal done, I think.
But, I mean, what do you think it is about your club that just can't seem to, like...
Stingy.
Seal that deal.
Yeah,
it really is.
Have you guys seen that Wenger walks into the shop?
The sweet shop. Yeah. Did you see the Ed Woodward one?
Yeah.
Jeez, that was funny.
Was that the with with
the Mars bar? The Mars bar.
Yeah. So basically, for those who haven't seen it, one that was released a couple of years ago, Wenger walks into this shop wanting to buy a Mars bar, and he comes in and says, I'll give you nothing for this Mars bar. And he goes, oh no, it costs 80p. Like, you can't pay me nothing. And it's like, okay, fine, I'll give you like 1 cent, one pence or something like that. It's like, no, you can't. It's 80 pence, nothing more. Anyway, fast forward that Wenger's super stingy. Van Gaal comes in, or Ed Woodward comes in and does the exact opposite. He's like, I'll give you £100 for this Mars bar. And,
what's that worth? About £100?
Yeah.
Yes, money, it is worth £100.
Money is no obstacle.
And so it's an interesting dynamic where Arsenal are considered the stingy club and Man United considered this frivolous club that just wants to spend ludicrous money.
Well, specifically in this window.
Yeah.
I don't think it's considered. I think it's just fact that Arsenal are stingy.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on to Chelsea news. I think more than any signing, the biggest news has to be that Torres is gone.
Oh yeah, and I would like to give you a slow clap.
Yeah,
for
thank
that.
You. Thank you.
He's finally gone from the. He's been purged from the Premier League. I'm so happy.
Do you know? But it's just. It tells you so much about how much we wanted him out that we didn't even ask for a transfer fee. I just said, just please, just take him, just pay his wages, and just get him the hell out of here.
Yeah. Aren't you still paying half his wages?
I don't think so. No, I think that was part of the deal that we wouldn't ask for a transfer fee, and then they would pay him higher wages. So that
they
we
started
would...
a Kickstarter. Torres out. Chelsea fans the world over, unite!
You would know how much money you'd raise. You'd raise so much money. But
so great.
But then obviously we brought in Loic Remy to replace him.
I think we also wanted him another good. One on the list.
Yeah, yeah, you guys wanted him. Spurs wanted him.
We're not usually keen on every single player.
No,
that's true. We never linked with all the players.
Obviously had what they said was a failed medical at Liverpool, but now there's speculation that Liverpool just wanted to pull out of the deal, and there's no other way to really say that.
Can I say something? What is a failed medical?
So a medical, before you sign for a club, they just... They run you through basic things to go like, it's almost like, to put it into like a really weird analogy, I guess it's like how you would test drive a car before you buy it. You just want to make sure that like, you've driven it and like the engine didn't fall out, So basically you'd bring a guy in and say, oh, look, he's got a hole in his heart. Like he can't play or actually... I mean, he hasn't looked like it on TV, but he's got a busted knee, So we're not going to spend all this money on him, and then he's going to be sitting on our operating table for the next 6 months. Yeah. So basically, that's a medical. So he obviously said that Liverpool said that he failed the medical, but
Maybe it's a convenient excuse to stop the deal.
That's the thing. So that's what the speculation is, because Harry Redknapp came out afterwards and said, this kid doesn't fail medicals. He's never had a history of failing medicals. Yeah. He's probably one of the fittest guys he's ever worked with. Why would Liverpool say that?
Do you know what I always think of when people do a medical? Is when, do you know in junior school where you got that time trial type of thing? Run between cones. I always think, okay, as soon as they come, that's what they make them do.
I wouldn't be surprised. I think they might do that.
No, it's stuff like that.
Probably is exactly that.
Yeah. I'd love to know the stat of how many transfers, like genuine, like not just an excuse. I mean, obviously you'd have to like personally sit down and chat with everyone who's ever been in a transfer. But like, how many didn't go through because they failed a medical, you know? Yeah. Oh, I'm really excited to sign Di Maria. Oh, he failed his medical. Oh, well.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's true. And also, did you guys see this weekend? Obviously, what a massive game. The Chelsea-Everton, I mean, that's really been the first big test that we've had. I mean, Everton are probably one of the bigger clubs over the last couple of years, under Martinez especially, he's doing really, really well. And 6-3. I don't know if any of you actually watched that game, but there was a 10-minute period there where it was a goal every 2 minutes, back and forth. Probably one of the craziest games I've ever seen Chelsea play in.
Can I say something? I was really annoyed with all the pundits and the speculations on Diego Costa's injury. Because I had him as my captain in a fantasy
game.
And I took him out, right? And then he's there playing, and he scores 2 goals, and he gets like 12 points. I'm not even taking him out. I'm not even put him on the bench. I've taken him out. I've brought in Rooney, who got 2 points.
No. It's probably because all of the managers are playing fantasy league. let's start a little rumor that Costa's got an injury. I just watched the highlights, but I heard about the goal every 2 minutes and stuff, and it just sounds to me like, I mean, you guys scored 2 quick goals, and you really weren't expecting Everton to come back firing. And I suppose for other clubs like myself and the Arsenal fans over here, trying to get into the Champions League spot, it's quite a good sign showing that you've got holes, which is nice, but it's also not a good sign that Everton looks so good.
Yeah, Everton did look very strong, actually.
Well, they scored 2 quick goals against,
and they were good goals.
Us, they're a pretty good attacking team. They're actually a pretty solid unit. It's kind of like Moneyball, they haven't got elite stars anywhere on the field, but they've got like consistently second rate guys, whereas some teams will have stars and then like fourth rate, they're just a solid unit. Yeah. So
it's kind of they're the poster child for a team over superstars.
Yes.
That it actually matters more having like a solid cohesive unit.
Well, and that's kind of, they still lost 6-3, so
but that's kind of what like Man United used to be.
Yes,
and now they're kind of getting scared and jumping into the let's buy superstars thing, and it's not going to go well. I mean, also, look at Real Madrid now. It hasn't...
Well, yeah. I
mean, at the moment...
What do they really want? Only the Champions League last year. So.
But at the moment, they're spending crazy money. And, not doing so well in the Liga. Okay, so recently in Spurs news, everyone, all the avid listeners out there.
I'm with you, Joe.
Hey, anyone should be with me, it's Nick over here, because I'm his Jeremy's replacement.
Yeah, that's true.
You need to know your enemy, so I want to hear what you have to say.
Oh, I best not say this too much.
Art of war.
Tottenham did nothing, there was nothing happened. Well, second biggest, Benji Stambouli, joined Tottenham. Defensive midfielder, probably direct replacement for Sandro. He looks good, but unknown. But that seems to be the kind of signings that Pochettino's making. Is he enjoys taking relatively unknown players and turning them into relatively good players.
Like Wenger.
Yeah. But I think the biggest thing was probably Van Gaal coming out saying,
do the voice.
Tottenham would have been a much easier club to manage than the Manchester United.
That's a voice clip we got directly from his press conference.
I'm not too bothered by the quotes, but I mean, I'm on the Spurs official Facebook page, and some of the colourful language coming out there is ridiculous. But I mean, He's clearly just, I don't know why he even said that.
I don't know why. There's no reason behind it. There's no historic rivalry between you guys.
It's mainly because he wants a buffer for failing at United. Yeah. You know, like he's going down the same route Moyes went down.
Yeah.
And I think he's probably going to get a little more time than Moyes got. But at the same time, he just wants to go, well, you know, I mean, that's what I said, you know, in the beginning of the season. I prefer to actually manage Spurs.
He just wants an easy job. I'm not here for Aioli Day.
But yeah. But I thought in Spurs news, I thoroughly enjoyed the walloping that Spurs got on against Liverpool.
What a fantastic game.
I mean, the best thing was Tottenham was so cocky after their Crystal Palace win. And then, we've got the biggest build-up.
QPR.
We got exact same thing. we got the biggest build-up to a goal, like the record set. You know, Chadley's going to win a hat-trick next time and everything. Come into the Liverpool game, wham, 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 3-0. Thank you very much.
Yeah, the first big test of the season, didn't really stand up to it.
I think Van Gaal's comments are much like your comments last week on the, it's funny how Tottenham are like top and everyone's like, we're going to be top the whole time, but they aren't, and it's so funny.
But I think
we're just excited. It was finally we were seeing like an incredible... Like teamwork goal, like that 48 positive goal. Like, I don't know any club who's not going to boast about that.
And then the true Spurs showed they
Exactly. Like, the truth is, it seems like nothing has changed. And it's that whole thing, our biggest signing is probably going to be time. We're going to have to, like, the old player time. But we're just going to have to wait it out. Like, we might not make... I think, realistically, our finish will probably be 5th or 6th again this season. Yeah. But it's because... Pochettino is still building his team, still getting it going, and we saw a glimpse of that against QPR, but unfortunately we came up against like a true opponent of Liverpool.
Sure.
It's just bleak that we have to play you guys in like 2 weeks.
Hopefully, you know, I mean, once again, in terms of my fantasy league, I brought in Chadley thinking, like, what a great performance.
He scored that goal, though. Surely
he's going to perform well again. And like,
so actually it was just you going, oh, Chadley's going to score a hat-trick next time.
Would I lie to you, baby? Would I lie to you? Oh, yeah, I'd see it.
Okay, this is our,
Arsenal.
we brought Jake in this week, and he's going to be presenting a new "Would I Lie to You" style section. I think. Take it away.
So basically, I'm going to present three facts.
Okay.
Facts in inverted commas. They I could have made it up. They could be half truths. Or they could be complete fact. Disclaimer though. Some. If you ask, you guys need to ask questions, obviously, to try and find out whether it's true or false.
Yeah.
But if you ask a question that I don't know the answer to, I could make up something.
Yeah, that's right.
So, fact number one. In 1998, a referee sent himself off after punching one of the players in the face.
Okay,
well, the first thing that I think is a bit dodgy about that is... You know, I would think maybe it was another referee that sent him off, not himself.
Like the fourth official.
Yeah.
Well, you can ask.
So,
we're just doing the pre-speculation.
Yeah, just hold your horses.
Yeah.
So, Jake, is the fact that you're saying that referee sent himself off, could that also mean that another official sent him off?
No, because the referee is the only one on the field who has the power to brandish the cards. So he sent himself off.
Can you tell us the two teams that were playing in this match?
It was Galatasaray.
Okay, you've prepped well.
And the
Besiktas, I heard.
Yes.
Yeah, good. The other Turkish team.
Yes, Besiktas.
What provoked the punch?
Okay, so what I heard from the facts was that he gave a player a card, and the player was very unhappy and tugged on his shoulder, and then he just clocked him in the face. And the player fell down, rolling around on the floor in unusual fashion, and then things got out of hand. All of the players in the match started started chasing him around the field.
Wow.
Fly kicks going everywhere. And then he ended up just sending himself off.
I love that his response wasn't to try and send everyone else off, but himself. Like, I'm getting out of here.
Yeah, the true poster child of humility.
Did he legitimately, like, actually take out the card from his pocket and show it to himself and then walk away?
Which side do you show?
You do it the normal way and try and walk in front of your own hand.
You do the loop around the hand.
It'd be best if he's just calling it. He's like, oi, oi, come back here. Calling himself back and then he won't look at himself.
He starts walking slowly off the field. He's like, come on.
Time wasting, another card.
Shaking his head going, oh, man. Ref.
Protesting it
as well. Post-match interview. Yeah, the referee was...
I didn't see the footage, but I assume...
Because there is none.
To show a red card, you do have to show a red card. So he couldn't have just said, okay, I'm out. He would have had to show himself the red card and walk off the field. But I think, you know, it was probably at the advice of other officials, and I'm sure the players weren't ready to carry on playing after that.
I think this is true. I have a feeling this is true. I'm going to say true.
Ball?
Partial truth.
Okay. Truth. I'm gonna, I don't know. I feel like it's true as well.
No, Jake said we can give.
Well, some of them will be partial.
No, you have to say
true or false.
False. Okay. So first statement.
Team majority.
Okay, true.
Okay, we've all gone true.
It is true.
Oh, yay!
English referee Martin Sylvester got sent off. By his own card, in a game, and he did the guy did tug at his shoulder and he did punch him straight in the face and then got chased around the field.
Like an overreaction,
but it wasn't between Galatasaray and Besiktas. I have no idea who it was between. Some lower league. Anyway, fact or false number two: after Aston Villa won the Champions League in the 1981/82 season, there was a significant rise in children being named Aston in the UK, especially in the Midlands area.
Okay, so what I'm going to say...
What's quite funny is that I really like the name Aston. I think it's a cool name.
You don't want to call your kid Arse.
Exactly.
I don't think Aston Villa ever won the Champions League.
The Champions League also didn't exist in...
Well, it was called the UEFA Cup, or...
Was it?
It was... It's now known as the Champions League.
The European Cup Winners' Cup. I feel like if ever there was going to be a partial truth, this might be the partial truth. So I think what the fact is that there's been that around that year was a rise in the name Aston. And Jake's taken that fact and extrapolated that to be an Aston Villa European Cup win.
I don't know. I'm on the side of false here.
Yeah, I'm gonna say partial truth to false.
Wow, that makes it. I'm the tiebreaker here. I'm gonna say false. I don't believe it.
I don't believe it either.
Okay, it is. Ding! False.
Yeah!
But Nick was completely wrong in the fact that Aston Villa did win what was then the European Cup in 81-82 season, but there wasn't, there were no records showing a rise. But actually, there was a rise in the first name Aston in the 2005-2006 season, which I don't know why.
Strange.
Yeah.
When they got relegated.
So I got the partial truth right, just the only part that wasn't.
Yeah, just split them around and then you're good.
They got relegated, so all the other teams decided to name their kid Aston.
Yeah.
Kanye is a big fan of West Ham. I know, it's Northwest, sorry. We'll have to cut that.
Northwest. Not cutting that at all.
Okay, and last truth / lie. Sporting in Deal Tierkens, Lisbon, were named thus because their first captain displayed a sporting gesture during one of their games.
I mean, surely a
Portuguese club isn't going to name themselves. It's like, it wouldn't have been called a sporting gesture in Portugal. It would have been called like a Portuguese
like
word
the
for
same
sporting.
As Galatasaray.
Oh no!
Now I know where Arsenal comes from.
Wenger dropped his pants at some supporters, and they're like, Arsenal.
You're going to have to start a football pun section.
Yeah.
With a packet of sweets and a cheeky smile.
Okay, so what are you?
False, resounding.
I mean, let's try and examine this a little bit. I mean, so who was the captain? Do you even? I mean, how much research have you done here?
His name was Javier Smithers.
Javier Smithers doing a sporting gesture for what was just called Lisbon Football Club.
What was it called before? What were some of the previous
names? It was just Lisbon. Just Lisbon.
It's just Lisbon.
They're throwing suddenly they decided. They're throwing Lisbon Athletic. Lisbon Hotspurs was.
I mean, the thing is, here, we don't know what's truth anymore. It's gone to absolute shambles. and I would say we have to rise up and call this as completely false.
Yeah. Well, there's one obvious question. What was the sporting gesture? If we can, if we can just bring this back to
you
the.
You spent at least 5 minutes making this up. So yes. What's the sporting gesture?
It was so there was a penalty awarded for what was then Lisbon Athletic Hotspurs FC, and the captain refused to take the penalty to score the penalty because he felt it was unfairly awarded.
Yeah.
Which has been repeated in the future, but it wasn't when a club was just starting, so it didn't affect the name change. So I can imagine every action in a football match determined the name.
Falchester City.
I mean, legally, I know a thing or two about registering a business name and stuff like that.
Oh, high flyer.
And the thing is, like a club, a football club, would be a registered business. And
no, not back then. I'm talking like early 1900s, late 1800s.
But also,
it's like Woolwich turned to Arsenal, just like that.
So my analysis of this is that a club who plays sport is more likely to have sport in the name because of the fact that they're playing a sport, or like a sporting club, or it's like the same. Yeah. It's the same reason why you have Charlton Athletic, because they were maybe a multi-purpose.
Or maybe they were just athletic players.
let's make a call.
I'm going to say, if this turns out to be true, I will punch myself in the face.
Sweet, Jake.
I'm up the stakes.
I'm going to say false. Sweet. Nick's saying false. Saying
false.
False.
It is ding true.
No way!
How is it even a real thing? Sporting Lisbon renamed thus because their first captain refused to score an incorrectly awarded penalty.
Oh my god! I'm gonna punch myself in the face.
In the face.
Slap myself
in the face. Punch in the face. We got on record that it's a punch.
Okay, wait. I'm gonna push your hand into your face.
Okay, go for it.
Got you in the ear.
That was worth it.
Yeah.
I can believe it's a true fact. Yeah. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, I punched myself in the face after just reading that fact.
Alright, so moving on quickly onto three interesting football facts to almost end the show with before your quiz. So the one interesting fact I heard from the weekend had to do with the Man United Burnley game. Specifically that having obviously just signed Di Maria for £60 million, and they were playing against Burnley, the difference between their spending ability is so staggering that obviously they were debuting a £60 million player compared to Burnley, who has been a club for 132 years. They've been a club. And in the total 132 years, they've only spent $45 million on players. In a full 132 years, accumulatively, they've only spent $45 million on players
in
total.
In the Premier League.
Yeah, in the Premier League, playing as a team and drawing with a team that's just debuting a player who was worth £60 million.
Can anyone say egg on the face?
Yeah, he could have bought the whole Burnley team and again half or something.
Go omelette.
Yeah.
Just buy the team and then play them and win.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
Buy the team and just don't play them.
Yeah.
Buy the team and
forfeit.
History.
Yeah, and then make them forfeit the match. Yeah. And then, brilliant. I don't know why more clubs don't do that. Yeah. Probably because it's illegal. Okay, interesting fact about Diego Costa. Obviously, this weekend scoring goals number 3 and 4 after just 3 games in the Premier League. Do you know how long it took Torres to score his first 4 Premier League games? As an interesting comparison. Okay, how long is the Premier League season?
36 games or?
No,
38.
So a Premier League season is 38 games long. Diego Costa's taken just 3 games to get to his first 4 Premier League goals. How long do you think it took Torres to get to his first 4 Premier League
seasons.
Goals?
2 seasons.
60.
It took 39 games.
39?
So it took longer than... that's assuming he plays every single game in that season.
Wow. Is that just in the Premier League or all competitions?
Just Premier League. But that's assuming he starts every single game or plays every single game for a full season. It still took him longer than a full season to get the same amount of goals it took Costa to get in three games. So I think
you've done good business this
time. It's like we've done good business, yeah. And my last interesting fact is, do you know who one of Arsenal's biggest supporters ever was? He is a very world famous, or should I say notorious.
You're talking about Piers Morgan.
It's not Piers Morgan. I would like to say he's slightly worse than Piers Morgan.
No.
And by slightly, I mean a lot.
Oh, I'm so happy.
Saddam Hussein.
It's Osama bin Laden.
Yes.
So Osama bin Laden is ridiculous. I found out was a very big Arsenal fan. He used to study in London when he was in his 20s and went to a football match and just started loving Arsenal.
When you have terrorist tendencies, you're going to go towards kind of
the Gunners.
Yeah.
He bought his son an Ian Wright shirt. So I mean, he really was into it. But still, Arsenal fans
sign him up.
They still have a chance, or they used to. I'm not sure if they do anymore. This was obviously before he was killed. But they used to sing. Osama, whoa, he's hiding in Kabul, he loves the Arsenal, Osama. So, I mean, it became pretty common knowledge, but I just thought that was a hilarious fact to know that Osama, one of the world's biggest terrorists, was an Arsenal fan.
Makes sense.
Yeah, it does. They said, I heard a joke on another podcast where I heard this fact, they said probably wasn't the wisest idea for him to run out into his garden saying, "Come on, you Gunners!"
Oh, that's so great.
It's time for the quiz. Here we go. You can all buzz in and just guess what you think the answer is. So the first question is, which Premier League club had the fewest done deals during the summer 2014 transfer window?
Ooh. Buzz.
Bolly.
Hull.
Hull is incorrect.
Following on Jem's thing last week, I'm choosing Hull for every question.
Anyone else?
Oh, man.
Is that this transfer?
Leicester.
No. Bigger club.
Bigger club?
Yeah.
There are no transfers whatsoever.
No, not no club. No, just the fewest.
Is it one guess when we're out? Or can we keep guessing?
Keep guessing.
You've guessed. So, any clue?
Big club. This is a guess. Is it Everton?
It is Everton.
What? Yeah, they didn't make
any 11 deals. They had six incoming players, five outgoing.
Oh, is that includes outgoing? Otherwise, I would have obviously known. Dude, Chelsea must have been top of that list, actually. Because we had 26 on loan.
Yeah, no, you guys, if you look at the comparative list, it's huge.
Yeah, mainly.
And you just ship them all out. Yeah. So it's like mainly outgoing.
You know that Tottenham have spent the least...
This is not the fact section.
The least money spent over the entire Premier League.
Because last year you spent like 120 million and did nothing with it. So obviously this year they're just going to try and recoup that investment.
The second question is, which team will be making its debut appearance at the Asian Cup Finals in Australia 2015?
Which what?
Which team? It's a national team which will be...
I know. Nick, Buzz.
Yeah.
North Korea.
False.
But I know, I read an article yesterday about them going for the Asian Games.
South Sudan.
A little bit closer, but not really.
Is Sudan even part of it?
Buzz.
Yeah.
Zimbabwe.
No.
Asian Games.
You've gone twice now.
I took the Spurs.
So you're not going to get it. The answer was Palestine.
Interesting. Right. I heard they were just joined part of. They've become part of FIFA.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Lovely.
But there's other certain countries that are like very established that are just not part of FIFA technically because they forgot to do the paperwork.
The third question is, which two foreign countries have hosted Liverpool versus Tottenham Hotspur matches? Which two foreign countries?
Bolly? Is South Africa one?
No, but you're close.
Oh. Buzz.
Yeah, Nick.
Is it another African country?
Well, that's more of a question.
he's found out my plot. Zimbabwe.
It is not. There
was recently a cup competition where we played Liverpool.
Oh, wait, Buzz.
Pre-season.
Yeah?
Oh, but I can't remember where it was.
One of these is close to home and one of these is a powerhouse.
Yeah, Buzz.
Was it South Korea?
No.
Definitely the States.
The States is correct.
Oh,
one of them.
Oh, yeah.
Buzz.
Yes.
Kenya.
No, you. Okay, I'll tell you the other one, which is Swaziland.
Swaziland?
Yeah, oh, wow. In June 1984. Two matches.
Wasn't even born then, so.
Cool. Right, so the fourth question is, how many times have Arsenal and Man City won the Community Shield?
Ooh.
But it's different. They're different numbers.
Oh, different numbers. Yeah. Why, okay, but six and four.
Four is correct for Man City.
Woo!
Nice. Oh, you didn't give. There are two numbers.
No, but it's like it's Arsenal and City. So.
Buzz.
Yeah,
Arsenal. I think Arsenal have won it 8 times.
No.
I'd say Buzz, Arsenal have won it 2 times.
Well, it's 12, so...
add a 10 on that.
You can shut up.
Add a 10 on that, and you've got the number.
I'll get a point for that, for being closest.
No, you won't. Okay, and... right, here we go. So, the final question is, which team has won most times at Old Trafford in the Premier League?
Buzz.
This is the whole time.
Ooh, Buzz.
Yes. Volley.
Man City.
False.
Chelsea.
Chelsea is correct. Chelsea have claimed 6 wins at Old Trafford since the Premier League began.
I did know that.
That seems like very little. I mean, overall, like...
Yeah, there's been a lot of draws.
The most is 6.
Yeah. But I remember when Ferguson left, we were the team that he had the worst record against. So I think... No, Manchester United, under his leadership, had done the worst against us than any other team they ever played. So, interesting fact.
Mourinho got under his skin.
It's been great.
Mm-hmm. And that ends the quiz.
Yay!
It's the quiz!
No, we're the best.
Yeah, okay. Oh, and that's the final whistle. I want to thank you all very much for being here.
Especially Jake.
Especially Jake for coming into the Lion's Den. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah,
pleasure. And we'll be back next week. Please keep listening. You can listen on iTunes and Podomatic. Tell your friends and
subscribe.
And we'll chat to you soon. Woo. Cheers.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.